Arizona, Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk.
And now, broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH,
here's your host, Matt Russell.
Oh, fellow foodies, I got to tell you one thing. You know, when we live in Southern Arizona on February the 10th, and the rest of the country is watching the snow fall from the skies, I am broadcasting now just about in the most beautiful atmosphere I can imagine for this beautiful Saturday afternoon. The temperature is in the 70s, and we are blessed to be broadcasting live. The great places in all of the galaxy. I am broadcasting live right here, right now, at El Cisne on the northeast corner of Sunrise and Swan. We are coming to you live in the middle of their world-renowned 3T happy hour. That's tacos, tequilas, and tamales, all for just $2 a piece. And if you do the math, that's two tacos, two tamales, and two tequilas for $6, $12, $18. Just keep doing the math. The tacos and tamales and tequilas are in surround sound. In this live broadcast from El Cisne, come on over here and join the party. And when we're thinking about a party on a Saturday afternoon, the roads lead to many different places. But our celebrity co-host for this week is certainly no stranger to our audience because she keeps her pulse, her palate on the pulse of the local food scene. She is a food writer. She is the one woman behind the Well-Fed Foodie on Facebook and across all of social media. And she is here talking about a new writing project. Put your hands together for our good friend Rita Conley. Is here, Rita. How are you?
Hey, Matt. How are ya?
Well, I'm doing great. Look, I'm like literally surrounded by tequilas y mezcales, and that's what they do here at the Black Swan Tequila Bar at El Cisne.
That's great. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited about it.
It's been a while since you've been on the show.
It's been a while.
We're going to be raising our glasses here in a few minutes and toasting the lovely spirit of agave.
And I need some of that.
Yeah, because that's what we do here at El Cisne. But last time you were on the show, we were talking about a book that you had just written called The Lost Restaurants of Tucson, a wonderful story about some of those old classic restaurants here in Southern Arizona that unfortunately are no longer with us. That kind of was an inspiration for your next book project. Your agents and publishers were all over you to keep writing, and just hours ago, your second book just came off the press.
Hot off the presses, man. It's called The Historic Restaurants of Tucson, and it's a little different than the other one in the sense that this is all about the restaurants that are still around, the ones that survived. And the favorite ones. And I started in 1922 with El Charro and go all the way to 1997.
So what's the criteria? Now, how do we define historic restaurants? I mean, some might say if you could make a restaurant last more than 8 years, that's truly an historic milestone.
That's true.
But how far, you say you go back to 1922.
1922.
But what are some of the criteria? What kind of restaurants were you looking to tell their stories?
Well, the ones that everybody still likes to go to, you know, the ones that hang in there, you know, the ones you would recommend to a friend if they came in from out of town, the ones that you always want to go back to, the ones that who have added something to Tucson. It's amazing how many of them are still around. When I started out, people go, oh, there just can't be that many restaurants to write about. But there really, really are. I mean, dozens and dozens of Mexican restaurants.
Of course.
A whole set of, other Italian restaurants. A lot of little diners. I mean, it's amazing how many restaurants are. So I had to leave them out. I had to leave restaurants out.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure the size of the book with the also-rans is twice as long as the one that you were given pages for. Now, of course, you talked about, El Charro going back all the way to 1922. What was like the second most historic restaurant sort of on that spectrum? Was there one that was came to us in the late 20s, early 30s?
Well, Arizona Inn kind of popped in there.
Of course.
And that was a big one. I probably should have to even look at the book. Arizona Inn was a big one. And then, we got to the 40s and 50s, and that's when there were a lot of restaurants that opened in the 50s. El Corral, Cosmolina. I mean, they're just amazing. There's certain decades that seem to pop more than others. The book is kind of tries to cover a little bit about what was going on in Tucson at the time as well. There's it's just an interesting how much people love to talk about their lives, you know, and talk, and you learn so many things. I didn't know. Did you know that El Corral used to be where Caruso's is?
What?
Yeah.
El Corral up on River?
No, no, I'm sorry. El Charro.
Oh, El Charro. The downtown location.
Yeah.
Used to be where Caruso's is on 4th Avenue?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes, yes, yes.
So these are the kind of stories that you dug up and reported in this book.
I felt like kind of sometimes like a detective, you know, because you would be, you would start one story and you would talk to somebody and they would say, oh, by the way, and then it would kind of lead you down a different path. And so I learned so many things about Tucson, about the people of Tucson, about the restaurants of Tucson, and it was a wonderful experience. I mean, it was exhausting and tiring and all that, but I loved it. I had a really good time.
Well, I absolutely loved the Lost Restaurants of Tucson.
Like
I am eager to dig into historic restaurants of Tucson. Now, when you're interviewing these restaurateurs, is there a similar thread that weaves its way through the book that talks about what it takes for a restaurant to remain relevant to its guests for decades?
Well, you know, the thing that seemed to repeat itself was how, especially when the ones who are with the same families, how the generations that are, you know, like say your parents came to a restaurant, and then they would bring you when you were 12, and then now you're bringing your children. And it was like, not only are there generations of owners, there are generations of diners, and there's families, and you know, some of the restaurants are like in their fourth generation. And so it's kind of the same thing with the diners, you know. It's an amazing thing that way, in the sense that, you know, we keep it going, you know, and there's relationships that are developed. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing.
We're talking to Rita Connolly. She is the author of the recently released Historic Restaurants of Tucson. We're going to talk a little bit later on in the show about some events that you have coming up around town where people can get their hands on the book. In the meantime, if people want to buy the book right here, right now, where do they go?
Well, they can go to Antigone has it for sale. Mostly Books has it for sale. I believe you can get it at Barnes & Noble. I know that you can get it on Amazon. You can contact me. I have 100 of them sitting on my dining room table. So that, you know, pretty much the same, think of the general places. I think that some of the resorts might be carrying them. I know El Charro is going to have a couple in the store. I think that they're going to be selling them out at Trail Dust Town.
Yeah, all the great places to go to find historic restaurants for Tucson. Rita, thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of our valued sponsors. And when we come back, there's a hardworking brewer in town who is gearing up for the Tucson Craft Beer Crawl. His name is Tony Williams from Black Rock Brewers, and he's going to be talking about how he's preparing for this worldwide event. And in the meantime, you're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The culinary excellence of Chef Victor Padilla continues to make news on Tucson's dinner scene, but it's his brand new brunch menu that's all the buzz these days at his Hot Foothills Eatery, Commoner & Co. Victor's passion for food anchors each of his Sunday morning and midday meals, from the shrimp and creamy grits with mussels and calabrese salami to the Commoner waffle with fresh berries, smoked honey, and bourbon butter. Yeah, I said it, bourbon butter! Or check out Victor's take on a Southwest classic, the pork carnitas chilaquiles, dotted with avocado, red radish, and a sunny egg, then lovingly drizzled with a house-made guajillo sauce. Throw in a couple rounds of Commoner Bloody Marys or mimosas, and you have all the makings for the perfect weekend wrap-up. Brunch is served every Sunday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And don't forget to come back on Monday night for half-off bottles of wine. Brunch is the bomb this season at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Cold. I'll see you there.
You know, I think if Cupid had a kitchen, it would have to be at Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro. And with Valentine's Day in sight, there's no better way to express your love than with a selection of the girls' signature sweets. Their divinely decorated heart-shaped sugar cookies will earn you points from the start, along with their rich and rewarding red velvet cream cheese logs that'll send you straight down Lovebird Lane. Finish with a few cupcake kisses, like some chocolate caramel Nutella cupcakes and chocolate-covered strawberry mousse and black pepper cupcakes, and you'll be renewing your vows on the spot. Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, our official Valentine's Day headquarters. Swing by to create your own assortment on North Oracle Road, just south of Rudisill, or give them a call to place your Valentine's order. 408-9000. That's 408-9000.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live from the Triple T Happy Hour at El Cisne. What do we mean by that? It's tacos, it's tamales, it's tequilas, only $2 each. Do the math. I'm going to be, yeah, we even have the bartender clapping. I mean, everyone in the Black Swan Tequila Bar is going crazy for tequilas, one of the greatest agave lists in all of Southern Arizona. Whether you're a fan of tequila, perhaps a little mezcal, that smoky, wonderful expression of the agave plant. Come on in here and join us at El Cisne for this live broadcast of On the Menu Live back here with Rita Conley. Having a great time. You're like fondling those tequila bottles like you've done this before.
Well, the bottles are as pretty as the liquor. I can't get over it, you know?
We're going to be talking with George Ferranti here, a tequila titan in this community here in a few minutes. But we are just about a week away, Rita Conley, from the annual Tucson Craft Beer Crawl, one of the greatest sudsy events in all of the Grand Canyon
State.
It's
gotten pretty big, hasn't it?
I'm telling you, I think it's like the third or fourth year, and it just keeps getting bigger and better. And there is a brewer on the line with us right now. This is going to be his first time participating in this world-class event. He is the principal of Black Rock Brewers, and his name is Tony Williams. Tony, how are you?
Awesome. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. We're surrounded by tequila. How about you, brother?
I'm surrounded by beer.
All right. Well, hey, not bad. Not a bad place to be. We'll check it out. You are preparing for a big event in the story of Black Rock Brewers. You are gearing up for the annual Tucson Craft Beer Crawl, which is a week from today in and around the downtown area. You're going to be side by side with some of the best brewers in the entire western United States. I mean, how do you feel about coming into this event for the first time, Tony?
Very excited. We're really happy to be out there and be able to show the public some of our premier beers.
How long have you guys been open over there?
We've been open about 10 months.
Okay, 10 months. So you really are the, I was going to say you're the new kid on the block, but you're certainly not a kid as far as the craft beer scene is concerned. You've been brewing beer for a long time, and you really have that kind of east side craft beer market cornered, right?
We do. We are Tucson's east side brewery, actually the only east side brewery right now.
And where exactly are you guys based, Tony?
We're off of 22nd and Pantano back in Research Loop, which is behind the car dealership there.
Okay, so we got some beer to drink at Black Rock, Rita Conley. I mean,
okay.
We need to do a little road trip.
I'm ready.
And go see Tony and his team at Black Rock Brewers. Now, you know, you don't just make beer and show up at an event like this, Tony. You know, you're going to be feeding, you know, upwards of 1,000, even more, I mean, thousands of people. You're going to be libating them with the and telling the story of Black Rock Brewers. I mean, how in the world do you even begin to prepare for an event of this magnitude? I mean, you're going to be serving a lot of suds, dude.
We do. We bring down plenty of staffing. We'll have two or three people there to serve all day and bring plenty of beer.
And do you know exactly where in the spectrum of venues for the Tucson Craft Beer Crawl, where is Black Rock Brewers going to be set up?
We're going to be in the alley next to Crooked Tooth Brewing.
Oh, great.
And we're going to be in there with some of the other bigger brewers, yeah.
Okay, Tony, I love that space. Of course, they call it a crawl, I call it a run, because I try to sample every single beer in the 4 hours of tasting, but I love the vibe of that Crooked Tooth area, that back alley,
yeah.
Really has become kind of a brand in and of its own right. So, for people, I would imagine there's going to be a lot of people, Tony, that have never tried your beer. How do you come to decide the kinds of beers that you want to serve at an event like this? Because this is going to be really the inaugural story that your beers are going to be telling to people across Southern Arizona. How do you get your head around the kinds of beers that you want for Black Rock Brewers to be known for?
Well, what we're going to bring is some of our basic beers, our staples, as it were, or our flagships, as we call them, and just try to present, here's our base beer, and then talk about our other beers that we have available.
Okay, so, you know, our listeners want to know, Tony, what are you bringing to the party next Saturday?
Well, I could say it's top secret, but it's not. We're going to bring a cream ale, which is very light and crisp. They call it a lawnmower beer. It's great for the summertime. And we've converted a lot of Budweiser drinkers with that already.
Oh, thank you. And yeah. you have a whole nation. thanks
good
for
old
that.
Genesee.
Mission in life, right? we're going to bring in an IPA, so our Admiration IPA. It's a balanced IPA. It's more of an English style or even East Coast style. Mm. It's not about big, bitter hop bomb. You know, it's not like the atomic fireball syndrome. It's a balanced beer, easy to drink, and it's great at 6.7%. We also have a porter, which is our Pantano porter, and our vanilla porter, which is actually real close to the Pantano porter. Let's see, that's four right there. We may also bring a pale ale, which is also very hoppy. We call it Lil Naranja. It's a great session beer. Mm. As you know, Naranja in Spanish is orange.
Yes.
And this beer has an orange zest aroma and taste to it, but it's from the hops only.
And my mouth is watering, Rita Conley.
Yeah,
I mean,
it sounds really good.
You really, it's almost like an artist's palette, Tony. I mean, you're bringing in flavors and styles and really celebrating different traditions from the craft brew story. You know, you're bringing in some great, you know, dark, rich, robust porters. You know, the cream ale, I was interested to hear you start with that because you don't really find a whole lot of cream ales on the local suds scene. Would you consider that cream ale to be kind of your flagship brew over there at Black Rock Brewers?
It's actually one of them. The four that I've mentioned are kind of our flagships to start off with. So we have the porter, the cream ale, the IPA, the pale ale, and then also an amber we're bringing up. And it's on tap right now. We're still kind of playing with it a little bit to tweak it to perfection, of course. But, yeah, that's kind of our five basics. Five flagships. We're trying to kind of cover the spectrum, make approachable beers that people want to come out and drink and not just have one and walk away, you know?
And I love that you serve admiration. Admiration served here at Black Rock Brewers. He is Tony Williams. He is the principal leading the team at Black Rock Brewers, Tucson's only East Side craft brewery. He is going to be bringing an entire lineup of his suds to the Tucson Craft Beer Crawl. Again, that is happening Saturday, February the 17th, starting at about 1 o'clock p.m. Go to TucsonCraftBeerCrawl.com to get your tickets because this event, as Rita knows well, this event sells out every year.
Really quick.
Yeah, every single year. Money raised through this event goes to help the Watershed Management Group, so a lot of money goes to help charity. They have raised tens of thousands of dollars over the years to support this charitable cause. And Tony and his team said, look, we can't sit out. We have to celebrate why this craft beer community has become a legitimate one in the Western United States and do that while supporting charity at the same time. Tony, what are you going to be having a little bit of time to leave the booth next Saturday and do a little drinking of your own?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing a lot of drinking. I've got to go out and see what everybody else is doing. You know, of course, I visit the other breweries in town when I get a chance and kind of talk to the other brewers and see what's going on. But, yeah, there's definitely going to be some scouting action going on down there tomorrow.
Very good. Tony is one of 35 brewers that are going to be convening in and around downtown Tucson again next Saturday, February the 17th, from Black Rock Brewers. Tony Williams, thank you so much. I know you have a Meet the Brewer event going on, so you want to get back to your guests. But anyway, I'm looking forward to raising a pint with you next Saturday, my friend.
Great. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you so much. Wow, Reed, I can't wait for this event.
It's just amazing.
So much fun.
I mean, Tucson's always sort of been a beer drinking town, but now it's really a beer drinking town.
Yeah.
You know, now that it's all made locally and there's so many different kinds and it seems to be a real tight group of the brewers seem to like
and
each
other.
And
they have a collaborative spirit about it.
Right.
Now, speaking of spirits, we're going to shift from suds to spirits and talk with one of the tequila titans in all of the galaxy. His name is George Ferranti. He is part of the leadership team here at El Cisne. We're going to be talking about what's trending behind the tequila bar in this live broadcast from El Cisne. In the meantime, you're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Don't you dare go away. We'll be right back.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Matt Russell here, and I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock, Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North 1st Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road, or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778. It's all about fresh. Ultra premium, first cold press. And trust me, these distinctions make a world of difference in extra virgin olive oils. And some of my favorite flavors of the world are now on tap at Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. Stop in today to learn what the Southern Hemisphere tastes like. From the mild Arbosana from Chile, a delicate oil with notes of green almond and banana, to the Picholine from Australia, a big and pungent oil that delivers loads of spice and pepper on your palate. Sample more than 20 gourmet olive oils in Alfonso's portfolio, along with a delicious lineup of aged balsamic vinegars
that will transform your home into an Italian marketplace. And while you're there, discover some great gift ideas for your next party, try out some fun kitchen accessories, and sign up for their series of community cooking classes and other special events throughout the year. Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, on the southeast corner of River and Campbell and the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee. And don't forget, as Tom and Nancy Alfonso say, taste first and buy when the excitement becomes overwhelming. See what they're pouring today at alfonsooliveoil.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell and Rita Connolly broadcasting live from El Cisne on the northeast corner of Sunrise and Swan, just steps away from the Black Swan Tequila Bar, which is lovingly set in the back of El Cisne.
And very elegant here.
I tell you, I just love it. Of course, when you think about the words that describe the swan, you know, grace, poetic.
Right.
You know, these are the kinds of things that really describe what El Cisne is all about, and that's why we love the team here. And the team started with the spirit of the Ferranti family, and no one better to tell the story of love. What a coincidence, because we are just days away from Valentine's Day. This guy loves himself a tequila, and there's no coincidence, because he calls the Black Swan Tequila Bar at El Cisne his home away from home. Our good friend George Ferranti is here. George, what's going on, bro?
Welcome, Matt. Good to be here.
I'm so happy to be here. I'm glad that you have decided to welcome us into your home here at El Cisne. And when you're thinking about tequila, the agave, the story of agave, that really is a fundamental place. It kind of anchors the bar scene here at El Cisne. And you don't just have three or four different tequilas, you know, occupying, you know, kind of convenient spaces in the well. You have dedicated the whole story of the bar to tequila. Tell us a little bit about the Black Swan Tequila Bar.
So we have over 80 varietals of tequila, different marks and names, or houses, as they say, in Jalisco. These are one of the most rounded varieties of tequila that anyone would find around the world. I have named our bar the Black Swan Tequila Bar, making it directly. This is what we do at our bar. We're not a sports bar. We're not a beach bar.
Right.
You know, we are a tequila bar. And however, we do serve all the varietals of liquor, beers, and wines. We do have a large selection of wines as well. But we do like to focus on tequila. Primarily, one of our slogans is we make 20 artisanal handcrafted tequila cocktails for you other than a typical margarita.
What?
Wow.
So, okay, so
I think we should have it, don't you think, Matt?
Yeah, I think, yeah. So during the commercial break at the bottom of the hour, you and I are going to run,
okay, run
to the Black Swan Tequila Bar,
okay,
and put some of George Ferranti's bold words to the test.
All right.
So there is a role for an artisanal tequila in a cocktail. I mean, yes, we enjoy sipping premium agave spirits, but you want to be able to kind of let the spirit shine in a cocktail with fresh, you know, citrus and fresh ingredients. No better place to do it than Black Swan Tequila Bar.
So our kitchen is all from a scratch kitchen. We use prepared fruits, vegetables, and different spices fresh from our garden in the back as well. And we carry that over to the bar with fresh squeezed citrus, mint, and basil to prepare these cocktails for you by hand. Our house label, our house well tequila is the Salsa Blue, which is right under Hornitos.
That's your
in the
well?
Casa Salsa. And that is prepared with fresh squeezed lemon and lime as well, with a cane sugar for sweetness.
Just the bright citrus flavors and the bright flavor profiles of mint and basil that George is talking about, those are flavors that work beautifully with that anchor, that native flavor profile from the agave. Just wonderful. Now, when I come in to a bar like yours, a restaurant like yours that professes proficiency in the story of tequila, I like to do a little flight. Are you guys offering your guests the opportunity to have small sips of a number of different tequilas y mezcales?
Definitely. So the best way to tour Jalisco is through taking a flight.
Yeah,
and,
man.
You can we can pair three different. Usually, flight comes in threes. We can pair agaves, reposados, añejos, and blancos. Or we can go a little bit above and pair some extra añejos, some sweeter or rose flavored tequilas, and then also go to some añejos that are filtered back to clear through charcoal filtering.
That's new to me.
So that's a pretty neat process.
Okay, so the Don Julio 70, this is an example. This is an añejo?
It is.
Okay, do not adjust your TV screens. This is a this is a clear spirit, and George Ferranti's calling it an añejo. I don't get it. So what? How does that happen?
So the Don Julio 70th anniversary is distilled and corked for in the oak and American oak for 2.5 years, and then it is charcoal filtered back to clear. So
man.
It
wow.
has remains of the oak and the smoothness and the sweets of the vanilla that you would get from a particular añejo, but it has the clear filtering to bring that agave to the forefront as well.
Okay, I might have to sample just a teaspoon, a teaspoon of that in the next a segment. But are you surprised by the renaissance in mezcal these days? I mean, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, you would be surprised to see one or two mezcals at a restaurant. Now you have a whole section of your spirit list devoted to mezcals, that smoky story that the spirit tells. People are really digging this stuff.
So I think the spirits in general have people's education has been raised, the bar has been raised, and therefore people are looking for a batch, more of a batch level
right.
spirit, handcrafted, and mezcal definitely fits that profile 100%. Mezcal is mostly distilled through roasting the piñas in an enclave with scalding hot rocks, and then put through the wheel with a donkey, and then those are given the fibers of the agave really come out clear. Well, then when it's distilled with the mixed fruit, you can very taste these peaty and smoky flavors
Pete,
that you would find.
And like a scotch. Mm-hmm. Okay, mezcal is where my palate is going to land in this broadcast. Rita, you're probably going to want to tease your palate a little bit as well.
Sure.
But we need to take a quick news break and thank a couple of sponsors. When we come back, George is going to stay with us, and then we need to pay tribute to Phil Ferrante himself, the man who started this entire story here many, many years ago, and he has some wonderful stories to share with you in this live broadcast from LC Snay. Stick around, fellow foodies. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and if your family is like mine, you gotta have a salad with your pizza, right? I mean, I think it's just as important as the wings and the beer. And when looking for standout salads to accompany our pizza pies, we look no further than Tino's. Family owned and operated for 32 years, Tino's Pizza just launched a new salad menu that features 8 fresh options, including new chicken Caesar, spinach, and caprese salads. And what fine companions they'll make for one of Tino's signature sandwiches, calzones, or pizzas, like the iconic Big Mo, a 20-inch pizza powerhouse that you have to see to believe. If you're looking for an honest and authentic neighborhood pizza joint, do what I've been doing for decades and ask yourself, isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tancaverde Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live from the Triple T Happy Hour at El Cisne in the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. You know, it's a party whenever Larry Gelman shows up. And Larry and Kristen Gelman are in the house, and he's going to be doing some eating and some drinking here. Back with Rita Conley. Now, Rita,
hey,
you talked about your book, Historic Restaurants of Tucson. Just came off the presses hours ago, and you're going to be doing some community events.
Definitely. Next, on the 18th of February, which is a Sunday, at El Charo on the patio at noon. There's going to be a launch party, basically a book signing. You can buy the books there. I lost the date. Eventually, check my Facebook page, Well Fed Foodie, and I will keep posted as to when and what's going to be happening, because we're going to be having another event at Trail Dust Town. And
fun.
But the El Charo one is the one that people should try and make. It's noon. Next Sunday, the February 18th, on the patio at downtown El Charo. And it should be, Carlotta's going to have some little treats out there for us.
Fun.
And, you know, and I'll be there.
Yeah.
Well, of course,
you
got to come.
Come meet Rita. Here are some of the stories about
That's
these historic
right.
restaurants. Buy several copies.
Several copies,
for your
please.
Friends and your family. Get a selfie with Rita Conley, which should go for big dollars.
Thousands of dollars.
Anyway.
If the camera doesn't break, thousands of dollars.
Anyway, check out Rita Conley. She is the well-fed foodie on Facebook. I also want to remind all of our listeners that this show would not be possible were it not for our very forward-thinking and loyal sponsors. Without them, we would not be able to tell the great stories of local on the local local culinary and cocktail scene. Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, Boca, Tacos and Tequila, Commoner & Co., Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, Jerry's Cigars, Tino's Pizza, Tucson Foodie, and Russell Public Communications. Please approach them all, get to know them, thank them, spend money with them, and let them know why you love the most delicious hour on radio that comes to you every Saturday at 5 o'clock right here on 104.1 KQTH. Well, so here we are, Rita Conley, and look at that. All we have to do is say cocktail, and George Ferranti returns with an entire platter full, a whole spectrum of spirits. As he is setting those up before us with love and with an intention, there is a man here at the center of the love story that El Cisne tells. He is certainly no stranger to the local restaurant scene. He has been el proprietario of many great Mexican food stories and restaurants. He grew up in Hermosillo, and it is my great privilege and my great honor to introduce to our listeners the man who started the entire thing years ago from El Cisne, the Honorable Phil Ferranti is with us. Mr. Ferranti, Senor Ferranti, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you.
Nice to be here. Take a look around to a full dining room on a Saturday afternoon where it's 78 degrees outside. I say congratulations, Senor.
Well, thank you. We're enjoying being up here.
So, you know, your kid did a good job with the tequila segment, man. I got to say, this guy, I've known George for years. Yep. And there's not a food event that he does not appear at. Every time I turn on the television, I see him. I turn on the radio, I see him. You must be proud of this kid.
Yeah, he's very good, isn't he? He started with us in the kitchen when he was 12 years old. It was funny, that story. Yeah.
That's where the story began 12 years ago with George. When he was 12.
12 years
ago. What restaurant was that, Phil?
La Placita Cafe.
La Placita Cafe, which was over there in Fort Lowell and Swan.
Swan, yeah.
That's right. And the story continues here at El Cisne. How long have you been open here in this beautiful new location?
Now, we're here 5 years now.
5 years, yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. And Rita and I were chatting a while ago about the story that your menu tells. Because, you know, you're not going to come to El Cisne if you just want that, you know, full-on, if you just want that strictly Sonoran style. Yes, you're going to have expressions of Sonora on the menu, but the menu weaves its way through different regions of Mexico, the different topography. There's a Baja Coast section of the menu which celebrates seafood. There's a northern region. There's sort of the tropical
Oaxaca
southern region, which we're going to be talking about. How did the idea for this menu come together when you really wanted to paint a picture of the regional expressions of Mexico?
Well, it began with my cooks. My original cooks, of which I still have three, are from Oaxaca.
Had Elsie's name three? Go back to day one?
Yeah, back to December of 89 when I opened La Placita, and I have the same manager, Nancy Carnero, and I have three of the same waiters I started with.
Wow.
Well, that's something.
Plus
that's
all
that's
of our new staff. You. We've got a very good new staff, too. It's a great team, but we wanted to represent actually Mexico. My idea has always been to represent the best things in Mexico, a great country, a very beautiful place with beautiful food, and people who are knowledgeable about food in Mexico know that Oaxaca is often spoken of as the cultural food center of Mexico. There's also the state of Puebla where the poblano chile comes from.
Sir.
And we use those in a dish called chile en nogada. It's a stuffed pepper. It's got a bechamel sauce and finished with pomegranate seeds. And it's a very classic dish of the state of Puebla. But from the north, from Sonora, the thing that we're really known for the most are very country foods, the chile relleno, the stuffed chili. And we buy beautiful Anaheim chilies that come from the Cananea area, which is 4,500 feet. And they grow perfectly there. And then the other thing that we use, that we make, is the carne con chile colorado, the red carne con chile, which is the old cowboy dinner, you know, in the state of Sonora and across the top. But it's especially in that area. And as far as the fish, of course, the sea is only 3.5 hours from here if you drive fast,
right.
Like I do. And we get our cabrilla, we get the snapper, we get it. And we also, besides our nice fish dinners, we do one very special. We do a whole fish like you would get on the coast of Mexico. Head on, tail on,
absolutely,
a whole fish.
Wow.
And that's kind of fun, you know, and it's unusual. So that's what we do.
So wherever you want to transport your taste buds to the different regions in Mexico, is your menu kind of categorized that way?
Yes.
Okay, so your servers will be able to kind of lead you to where you want to go and talk a little bit about those stories. Now, George, on the spirit side, we love pairing. We love to take a wonderful, a beautifully expressive dish that Phil talked about, and we like to pair those kinds of things with, a lovely spirit or a lovely cocktail. When you're thinking about the regional expressions of the cuisine that Phil talked about, do you kind of consider the flavor profiles of those to navigate you to where you would like your guests to go with the tequilas or sure. the mezcals?
Sure, we do. We have a rounded menu with pairings, and we start with aperitifs. And then we end, of course, with digestivos. And so we have some aperitivos that we make some tequila cocktails that will Jalisco and a lot of the tequila is primarily produced in the state of Jalisco.
Right.
It can be produced in four other states of Mexico through the domain of origin. But we can make a cocktail for you to start as an aperitif, and then as you're forming your dinner, it's through the central plains is where Jalisco is located. If you're going to order a dinner, we have some fine wines that will pair very, very well with the dinner. And then we can finish you off with a nice after-dinner drink. And we have quite a selection of tequilas that are paired with cinnamon or chocolate or some honeys to go with your after-dinner.
Incredible.
So, Phil talked about, that Chile Colorado, that rich and rustic and that red, that I love, and I've loved that from day one. Now, that's not an easy sauce to kick out. That takes intention to produce the kind of that velvety texture that you're after with that Chile Colorado, yes?
Yeah, well, our cooks are, my head cook is from Cananea, where the chilies come from, and I wouldn't describe it any different than what you just did. It's just wonderful. It's something we all grew up on. If you lived in Tucson and you went to the old restaurants, Minirito on South 4th or El Minuto, well, that's what you wanted to eat with it. And then later in the night, you wanted to have a good bowl of menudo, you know?
Yes.
And we make menudo every week. Up here, it's always amazes me. People know menudo and they like it.
I love that there is still an audience. There is still a menudo community here.
Right. Yeah.
Because, I had my first menudo probably 5 years ago. I was a latecomer to the menudo
story. Really?
Yeah, just about 5 years ago. And I just thought, this is what I've been missing all these years.
Life.
I mean, talk about a dish that has a story to tell about Mexico, really.
Right. You know? Well, and it's the kind of thing that people, when they hear about what it is, they kind of wrinkle their nose. But once you taste a really good menudo, there's nothing like it, you know. And I love that you have chilies en nogada. That's one of my most favorite dishes.
Going back to Oaxaca, the mole, we do the mole with pork, and we do the mole pork loin, tenderloin actually, and also the with chicken, and. It just gives you all the. I showed the pictures of the difficulty of making a mole sauce.
Yes.
22 ingredients.
22 of them.
And we've been doing it for a long time.
21 ingredients is not good enough for Phil Ferranti.
22.
It has to be 22. I had the privilege of writing a story about that mole a couple of years ago in my Inside Tucson Business column, and I sat down with George Ferranti, and he was telling me the story of the mole. Now, I love a good mole.
So do I.
And a good mole is all about balance, right?
Right.
I've had moles, frankly, that tasted like Hershey syrup and some chopped peanuts and some cayenne pepper.
Well, they got
that's
weird
not mole.
They got weird textures sometimes. It's kind of like grainy.
Right. No, the mole, it's like a great cocktail. It's about balance. And George is talking about the fact that they actually import the black Mexican chocolate from Oaxaca. Now, George, that sounds like a corner that you could easily cut and just go buy some chocolate here in Tucson. I mean, why go down to Oaxaca to get your chocolate? Does it really make that big of a difference?
Well, for one, we have that great connection of our original cook, Zoila Vasquez. She actually owns a restaurant now in Tule, right outside of Oaxaca City. So she's able to, do that for us as a favor. And it's a very nice opportunity that she's been able to provide that for us.
I need to friend her. What's her name again?
But along with the imported Oaxacan chocolate, we use five different types of chiles, five different types of nuts, and to base our overall experience of the mole.
Let me ask you, how long did it take you to nail, when you knew that the stars aligned and you hit the bullseye on that mole, how many trials did it take to get there? I mean, I would imagine, you know, you're working with 22 ingredients. That's a long story to tell.
Well, the recipe has been in the Vasquez family and then passed down to one of our head cooks now, Alicia Gastelum, for generations. So they've been preparing this sauce for many, many years, and they prepared the same recipe the same way. In our kitchen, in-house, we don't use any commissaries. We don't use any types of packaged products here. We prepare everything in-house in our small little kitchen here. So that's one of the benefits that we can say that you will get the same mole every time prepared by the original cook.
And that is, when you talk about authenticity, you're talking about the families that you know
right.
down in Mexico. They're not purchasing their ingredients, their food items in jars or boxes or packages. You know, that's they're using food from the land.
Right.
They're using
from the
food
markets.
From the sea, from the markets. And if you want to hold yourself up as an authentic Mexican restaurant that tells the stories of these regions that Phil talked about, that's kind of the spirit that you have to
right.
continue to uphold. And I think part of upholding that spirit, George, is the fact that yes, you've got great dishes on this menu. But you also cater to your guests when they have an idea, perhaps if there's a special request, or if there's something that they want to see or taste or imagine that isn't exclusively on the menu. If you've got the ingredients back there, you're going to do what you want to do for your guests.
We definitely are available to request as long as it has to do with Mexican food.
No spaghetti?
So what is Mexican food? It's a beef, chicken, pork, vegetable, or seafood. That has to do with Mexican spice, sauces, and flavors to it. That's what we do. And so we've had some requests, and I've also we're pretty good at inventing a couple of things that are off the menu or off the chart, and we make little flavor combinations that we feel might work out. And we sometimes pass them to customers. So for one instance is the Culichi Cheese Crisp. Mm. This is a Gulf shrimp. We'll use the 16 shrimp, fresh cut from the Gulf, which saute those in a garlic and butter. We also then put them in the poblano cream sauce and top that on a cheese crisp that's strictly mozzarella and queso fresco. So
wow.
we don't use the American cheddar or jack cheese. And this is something a little off the cuff is a Culichi cheese crisp or a mole chicken mole cheese crisp.
So if the ingredients are there, the imagination never ends.
No, I know.
Except there's no room for American cheese or Monterey Jack cheese
no.
anywhere. This is
no.
a jack-free zone.
Jack-free.
At El Ciste. Phil, we take a look around and at like you described, you know, the families and the stories and the heritage and the culture. That is a story that is told behind the bar. That is a story as you have shared that is told on the menu. But take a look at this setting, you know, can you kind of look
it's
around
gorgeous.
At the space that you've created? Talk a little about the environment here at El Ciste.
Well, my idea for this is to make a nice dining restaurant that you would see in any country, whether it's Mexico or U.S. or in France. Or we have a lot of art, and it's Mexican art except for a Picasso print that I bought in Barcelona, but everything else is by Mexican artists, and we've got an original poster from 1936 saying "Visit Mexico."
Oh, the one that's right
behind
here.
It.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
And we want people to have what I call a nice dining experience. We're not a fast food restaurant. We're not a
thank you.
We're
yes.
not. We're a real restaurant in every. You know, we would never dream of having some kind of a Michelin star like that because there aren't any in Arizona anyway. There's one in, but that's our effort is to make a very nice dining experience in a nice environment, in a nice setting.
Well, I say you hit the bullseye. I mean, take a look
well,
around.
It's very popular.
Yeah, the place is filling up. Want to remind you, Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and George Ferranti is going to be telling us about what the plans are for Valentine's Day here just on the other side of this break. But anyway, we are honored to have Phil Ferranti here, just one of the busiest guys here in town. You know, he's off and running to greet his guests. They are clamoring for his attention
they are.
As we stand here at El Ciste. Triste. But the time has come, Rita Conley.
Okay.
See if one of our guests wants to have, one of our listeners wants to have a shot at guessing the answer to our trivia question this week. Now, George, have you thought about a fun question that we can ask our listeners today?
Sure, I have. So what peppers are used in the chile relleno most traditionally made in most Mexican restaurants?
Okay, so there is one pepper. There is a singular pepper that is commonly used as the anchor of the chile relleno dish. And we want to know what pepper that is. If you think you know the answer to the question, shoot me a note right now on the menu live at gmail.com. Again, it's on the menu live at gmail.com. First person in is going to get a gift card to experience El Cisne and to experience the Ferrante family for themselves. George, thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Thanks to our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to taste a little tequila talk about what George has in mind for all the lovebirds in Southern Arizona.
Valentine's Day
is coming up. And in the meantime, you're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around.
Hey, friends, you've already made On the Menu Live your weekend destination for the most delicious hour on radio. Come back Sundays for the most compelling hour on radio. American Warrior Radio with my friend Ben Bueller Garcia, telling the stories of those who protect and inspire us. Sundays from noon to 1, right here on 104.1 KQTH, your weekend destination for great radio. Well, here I am at Boca Tacos and Tequila in their new location on 4th Avenue, and I just ran into Chef Maria Maison. What's up, Chef?
Hola, Mateo. So what do you think? Do you like my new restaurant?
Are you kidding me? It's perfect. Such a great setting for a culinary and cocktail kickback in a totally casual atmosphere. And check it out. I'm surrounded by two of my favorite things, tacos and tequilas, on this great patio.
Oh, lucky you. And you know these are real tacos, made with real food and premium spirits, craft beer, wine to keep the fiesta going.
But what do you mean by real food?
It's all about the elegance, Matt, with gourmet flavors in more than 20 varieties of real Sonoran tacos, with premium proteins, fresh produce, and I promise you will not find sour cream and bright yellow cheese anywhere.
And 7 salsas made fresh every single day, from mild and chill to blow your mind hot, right?
You got it, dude, but enough talking. You look ready for a shot.
I'm in.
Boca Tacos and Tequila on 4th Avenue, just north of 6th Street. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 to 10 and Sunday 11 to 8. Check out their full menu today at bocatacos.com.
And welcome back, fellow foodies. You are listening to On the Menu Live, and it is Matt Russell broadcasting live from the Triple T Happy Hour. That's tacos, tamales, y tequilas at the Black Swan Tequila Bar at El Cisne on the northeast corner of Sunrise and Swan. We must have a lot of listeners of 104.1 KQTH because they just keep coming in the door, Rita.
They keep coming in the door, and they all seem like they've been here before.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
So they're coming back.
They know what they want. You know what? And Gem Show, you know, you want to tell the story of Mexican cuisine
to
people that come here from all over the world.
All over the world.
This is it, George Ferrante. Congratulations to you. Before we talk about Lovebird Lane, before we talk about Valentine's Day, you kind of treated my palate to a wonderful story. This is a tequila Herradura Colección de la Casa Reposado. But this isn't just any Reposado. There's something fun about this one, right?
So this one here is from the Herradura house, the Casa de Herradura, and it's an estate-grown agave from their plantation. This reposado has a new term to describe it, is reserva. And this actually means that it's distilled to the maximum point of reposado, which is 11 months. And also, these are finished in their distillation process, and they're casting in port cast barrels. So it has some very nice finishes of plum and port wine
on the back of the palate. And a reposado. So again, you're bringing flavors out of that wood. You're bringing some flavors, you know, that port, so a little bit of a sweetness. But you say plum, I can really see that, and I can really, these flavors are really playing well together.
The color is beautiful as well.
It's just a gorgeous kind of hue. I was thinking this is a great cigar spirit
for
my brothers and sisters of the leaf. But I digress, George Ferrante, because, you know, my bride of 27 years just walked in the door. I love that lady. And there are a lot of lovebirds that are going to be coming into El Cisne on Wednesday, Valentine's Day. What do you guys got up your sleeve this year?
Oh, Valentine's Day is always a rush for all the restaurants here in Tucson. But we are booking up very soon, so you can make a reservation on Open Table or through the website or just calling in directly to our hostess's station, 520-638-6160. And Valentine's Day is a special day. Last year we had our signature drink was the Cisne, Flor de Cisne, which had a little droplet of maracuyá and chocolate in the. In
oh, of course.
And this is the maracuyá's passion fruit, of course.
Wow.
So it's pretty fun. This year we're doing the Skyline Martini, which is our signature cocktail martini on the top of the hill here, which is Grey Goose vodka with a little splash of St. Germain elderflower liqueur.
Oh, beautiful.
So very floral notes and just a perfect martini to go hand in hand with.
I'm darn near falling in love with you, George. My wife is starting to get closer to the table here. What is that guy you're talking
Who's
to?
Who's that guy?
Oh, he's mixing up great vodkas and elderflower liqueur. Just beautiful. So, again, there's going to be a lot of two tops here on Valentine's Day. You must make a reservation. You do not want to be the one that George Ferrante has to say no to. Do it right now. Again, you can do it on Open Table, February the 14th, Valentine's Day, or you can make a reservation by calling you on the phone. And the number again, George?
That's 520-638-6160.
Okay, great. Nancy is staffing the call center here at the booth. So I see that you're enjoying a lovely libation of your own.
Very delicious. And I'm not a tequila kind of person, but this is grand.
Yeah, you are now. What's she drinking, George?
Rita is drinking a Chapala Streetcar. This is one of our inventions here, of one of our 20 artisanal handcrafted tequila cocktails. Chapala is the big lake outside of Jalisco, in the state of Jalisco, and so we've denotated this cocktail Chapala Streetcar with a little bit of St. Germain elderflower in there as well.
I was going to ask you what the secret was in there, because that just kind of pops a little bit.
And it has one of my favorite tequilas that I particularly care for is Espolón Blanco. This is a has some artisanal factors to the drawings on the with the Dia de los Muertos art on the bottle, on the label. And with this Blanco, you can really taste a lot of the spice notes and some peppery notes of the agave right up front and forward. And it's actually makes a great margarita.
It's a pretty drink, too.
It's a gorgeous drink. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot, George Ferrante. So you talked about a great Blanco that you say is spectacular. You know, this is George's pick for the Blanco. Let's talk about Reposado. Let's talk about Añejo. And then let's talk about Extra Añejo. What are George's personal picks? Like, if I wanted to be George Ferrante for a day, what Reposado am I going to be drinking? Obviously. The one I have in my hand right now, right?
You betcha. This Reposado that I gave you is more for sipping. If you're going to go for a cocktail, I would recommend that Cabo Wabo, Sabi Hagar brand.
I was surprised how good it is,
I really partake to that one very much.
Well, I appreciate your honesty. What about on the Añejo scene? What are you digging on that rich and rewarding kind of caramel vanilla backbone of this wonderfully aged spirit?
Añejo, I would definitely have to go with Don Julio. This is by far the most that we serve here in our Cadillac margaritas. So the Cadillac is the Don Julio Añejo, Grand Marnier, fresh squeezed lime, and some agave nectar.
Beautiful. Okay, Extra Añejo. You know, do not try this at home. Leave this to the professionals. Come to El Cisne. Order an Extra Añejo. It's a life-exchanging changing experience. Where are you going to navigate us on the Extra Añejo side?
So Extra Añejo, we have about 15 to 16 or so Extra Añejos.
I didn't even know there was that many made.
There are, and we have two of the top Extra Añejos here in town. This is the El Tesoro, 8 years aged. To be considered Extra Añejo.
8 years?
To be Extra Añejo, I believe it's over 3 years. And this one is 8 years. We also have the Don Julio Real. That's another one of our two top. But the El Tesoro is by far, I think, one of my most favorite. It's very cognac-y, very dark, aged, and very flavorful.
All of our listeners are taking notes as we speak. Quickly, hours of operation at El Cisne. You guys are doing lunch business too, right?
That's every day from 11 o'clock to 9 p.m. nightly, and then on the weekends we're open till 10. Happy hours every day from 3 to 6.
That's the triple T that we talked about.
That's the triple
7
T.
7 days a week.
You
$2
betcha.
Tacos,
we
$2 tamales, $2 tequilas.
We don't close except for Christmas Day and New Year's Day. Everything else, we're open.
Wow.
If there's one item in your refrigerator that you have to keep at home, if you have to get rid of everything in your fridge and leave one item in the Ferrante family refrigerator at home, what can't you live without, George?
Well, that's our birria or our carne seca.
Oh, man. Ooh.
You didn't even, you didn't pause. You didn't flinch. George Ferranti, my hat is off to you. This community loves you. They love your story. They're coming in here and by the masses to El Cisne. I want to thank you and your entire family for everything you do in this community.
Thank you for having us on the show.
Rita Conley from the Well-Fed Foodie. We will see you at the book signing event.
Sunday at the 18th at El Charo at noon on the patio.
There it is. If you missed any part of the show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website early next week. In the meantime, it is Matt Russell and Rita Conley reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it's on the menu! Cheers, all foodies. We'll see you at El Cisne.